Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We looked at just the first part of this, first seven verses last time. And although I have taught this passage many times, I really believe that this is what the Lord wanted us to dwell on today. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, who is the Lord's servant, he waits on the Lord. He stands in the presence of the Lord as his servant. Elijah was sent with a message to King Ahab, very wicked king, and told, "As the God of Israel lives in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command." And then the Lord tells him to run and hide in the ravine where he won't be killed by King Ahab. Now, you know, if I was writing this as a movie script, I realize having some drama is nice, but I would have just killed King Ahab. You know, that would have been my plan. I'd look at that scenario and I'd say, all right, you got a wicked king who's leading people into sin. Instead of sending a drought, why don't you just kill him? Raise up somebody good. Make Elijah king. How about that? That wasn't God's plan. God often does things differently than we would do. And when God spoke through Elijah in order to cut off the rain, now there's no moisture, there's this huge 3.5-year drought. When God did that, it affected Elijah. It affected everybody in the kingdom. Elijah was sent to a remote place where there was just a little brook for water, and after a while, the brook dried up. So Elijah, instead of praying for rain, because, hey, I'm out of water, he does what God tells him to do, which is to now run to another place. Go to Zarephath. Beginning in verse 8, this is the reading of God's word. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there.' So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink.' As she went to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand.' But she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die.' Then Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first, make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says: The flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. After this, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. His illness got worse until he stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "Man of God, why are you here? Have you come to call attention to my iniquity so that my son is put to death?" But Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him from her arms, brought him up to the upstairs room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow I'm staying with by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself out over the boy three times. He cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, my God, please let this boy's life come into him again." So the Lord listened to Elijah, and the boy's life came into him again, and he lived. Then Elijah took the boy, brought him down from the upstairs room into the house, and gave him to his mother. Elijah said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you are a man of God, and the Lord's word from your mouth is true." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I'm just telling you, when I read the Bible over and over and over and over, one of the key lessons that I learned is that God's plans are not like mine. The Bible says his ways are not like our ways. His ways are higher than ours. But, I keep thinking I'd get it right at some point, you know. But this is not the way I would have scripted the story. Again, I would have made it so the brook never ran dry. And he gets to stay in the ravine. Now, living in a ravine as opposed to living in a guest room, really not ideal. But I don't like change a whole lot. And so once I get settled into a routine and I've got the brook going by and I've got ravens twice a day bringing me bread and meat, I've got my routine, I've got my comfort zone, this is all good, and this is where the Lord told me to be, so I'm happy to just stay. And God says, "No, I have someplace else for you to go, I have something else for you to do." And when the Lord says that, one of the ways he communicates it is the brook runs dry. That makes you more willing to hear what the Lord has to say. And Elijah, who is the Lord's servant, who was in the ravine by the brook where God had sent him, was better able to hear God's direction to go to Zarephath when the brook dried up. Because sometimes God has to change our circumstances and make us uncomfortable in order for us to really start listening intently to what he has to say.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So the word of the Lord came to him, "Get up, go to Zarephath, and stay there. I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there." Now again, that's not the way I would have written the script. A woman who's a widow? I mean, she's like a wealthy widow? Why a woman who's a widow? I would think it'd be good if I could go and stay with some wealthy people. You know, then I won't be any inconvenience. It won't be hard on them. God sent her to a woman who was a widow and who was basically destitute. I mean, the whole nation was going through severe drought. There were shortages everywhere. But this woman had almost nothing left. As far as she was concerned, she was about to fix her last meal. But God had spoken to her and commanded her to provide for the prophet Elijah. You can bet that she's thinking, that's crazy. I mean, I don't have enough for myself and my family. So I'm not in a position to provide for anybody else. But God had told her what to do. And so Elijah shows up and he asks her for something to drink. Now, why does he start out that way? Well, because he was thirsty. He's just traveled there and there wasn't any water where he came from. So he shows up. He's legitimately thirsty. He asks her for some water. She goes to get it. And he says, would you bring me a piece of bread too? And she says, I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have any bread made, and I don't really have enough to make something for you. I'm planning on making what I have for my son so we can eat it and die. She had given up. She was going to enjoy one last meal. That's all she had. And she certainly didn't have enough to share with someone else. And Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. When you get discouraged and you feel like there's just not anything to look forward to, I mean, I'm at the end. There's the horizon right there. I can see it. It's not off in the distance. I'm not going to make it. My son's not going to make it. We're hopeless. God said, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. Now again, this is not the way I would script this thing. I would say, if you have extra, could you please share? But God was saying, because Elijah was his representative, you've got to put the Lord first. You look at the little you have, but you got to look at how big God is and how worthy he is and the fact that everything you have comes from him. Now, some preachers, in a very unscrupulous way, love to take advantage of the poor and the oppressed. And while they themselves live in luxury, they get people to think, if you send money to me, you'll be blessed. That's not what was going on here. This wasn't Elijah's idea. This was the word of the Lord. The Lord said, I have commanded her to provide for you. When God commands you to do something, God will provide. God will provide. You can do what the Lord tells you to do, even if it requires a miracle. God will always make a way. So, this wasn't Elijah taking advantage of a widow. This was God giving a widow the privilege of being a part of a miracle. And so the woman did what the Lord commanded through Elijah. The Lord has said through Elijah, this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. That's a promise. That is a promise from God that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't see the thing about Christ Jesus. That's the New Testament. You and I are told that if we are walking in obedience to the Lord, he will provide everything we need. Now, he won't always provide everything we want. everything we might have a whim about. But he will provide everything we need to do his will. He'll provide you with as many days as he intends for you to serve him here on earth. And he will provide you with the strength for those days. His promise. God said through Elijah, the flour will not run out, the oil jug will not run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. So, verse 15, she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. She obeyed God's word. It was spoken through Elijah, but it was God's word. Then the woman Elijah and her household ate for many days, and the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord. He had spoken through Elijah. Did you catch that? He, the Lord, had spoken this word through Elijah. That's why it has power. That's why we can say to that mountain, get up and be cast into the sea, and it'll happen, is when God is speaking his word through us. It's not when we make up stuff and decide, well, wouldn't it be great if God did that? That's not a promise from God. But if we believe what God says, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, then we can ask and we will receive. Well, after this, we think everything's going great. But the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. And his illness got worse until he stopped breathing. I don't want the people I love to get sick. If they do get sick, I certainly don't want it to become worse. And if they do get worse, I want it to turn around and they get better. Here you got a guy who gets sick. He's a child. He gets sick. It gets worse. And now he dies. I never would have put that in the story. His illness got worse until he stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "Man of God, why are you here? Have you come to call attention to my iniquity so that my son is put to death?" The presence of the man who spoke the word of the Lord was not a comfort to her. It was discomforting to her because his presence and the word of the Lord, even in the midst of miracles, reminded her that she was a sinner. You know, God's word will do that. God's word, which is perfect, shows us that we're not. And this woman, when her son dies, is irritated with Elijah, but she blames herself. She says, "This is because my son's death is because of my iniquity, which you have pointed out by being here. Have you come to call attention to my iniquity so that my son is put to death?" Elijah didn't make this happen. But Elijah is handed the problem. "Give me your son," he said. So he took him from her arms, brought him up to the upstairs room where he was staying, and laid him out on his own bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow I'm staying with by killing her son?" There's a drought going on and it's affected everybody, including Elijah. They've got bread to eat every day, apparently not meat. When he was living in the ravine, he had bread and meat. Now they've got bread. But it's the same kind of bread every day. They got a thing of flour, a thing of oil, and they make bread. And that's what they eat. It's just bread day after day after day. And suddenly in the midst of that, something else becomes much more important. My son is dying. And Elijah's looking at that and he's not in control. They know God's in control, but God's not doing what we want. And so Elijah takes the boy and privately cries out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow I'm staying with by killing her son?" And then he took action. He stretched himself out over the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord my God, please let this boy's life come into him again." He did it 3 times. I wouldn't have had the faith to do it once. Okay? But if the Lord impressed on my heart, you need to do that, I would like to believe that I would do it. I'm not sure I would. But Elijah did. Nothing happened. So he did it again. Nothing happened. So he did it again. And still, nothing has happened. And he cries out to the Lord and said, "Lord, my God, please let this boy's life come into him again." So the Lord listened to Elijah. And the boy's life came into him again, and he lived. Then Elijah took the boy, brought him down to his mother, and said, "Look, your son is alive." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and the Lord's word from your mouth is true." Already, it had been many days that she had seen a miracle in her kitchen daily. God had worked, demonstrating that the word spoken by Elijah was true, and miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle had happened every day. But after a while, we can take miracles for granted until something comes along and really grabs our heart. And we realize, this means more to me. Now remember where Elijah was, or where the woman was when Elijah met her. She was expecting that she and her son were about to die. But having moved from that position of anticipating, "We're about to die, I've given up," the miracles that God had done daily had provided her with something wonderful, something we all need. It was called hope. And she had found through God's word and through God's power displayed in a miraculous way, she had found hope. But it was only after she lost her son and then God restored her son to her, only then did she believe in a brand new way. God will sometimes take us through painful, difficult things, not for the purpose of destroying us, but for the purpose of causing us to have a deeper faith in him and in his word. And let me tell you, when Elijah took the boy upstairs, the woman didn't know what to expect. He didn't say, "Don't worry, it's all going to be fine. I'm going to take him upstairs. He'll be back in a few minutes fine." He didn't say that because he didn't know. He just did what the Lord told him to do. And as he continued to obey, the Lord answered his prayer and worked a miracle that woman would never forget. She would be changed by the fact that God's word really is true. That's my prayer for all of us, is that whatever we go through, it would not shake our confidence in God's word, but it would cause us, as we study his word and believe his word and obey his word, it will cause us more and more and more to say, "The word of the Lord is true."
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.